chapter 48 of Genesis, Joseph is being blessed by his father. Father tells him that, Joseph, you're now going to get two portions. In other words, you're going to be the leader of the family, the patriarch. Verse 21, Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you. Let us just look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, as we think of these tremendous words, O Lord, do write them upon our heart. Help us to understand what this blessing meant to Joseph, what it should mean to us today in our life, especially for those going through trials. O Lord, draw graciously near and presence thyself in Jesus' name. Amen. These words caught my attention in the chapter where Joseph said, God shall be with you. God shall be with you. And I want to pick out those words and think about them this morning. And when I read them, my mind went to the report of the passing of the great John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. The biographies of his life tell us that when he came to die, his friends gathered around the bed, and John Wesley grasped their hands and repeatedly said to each one, Farewell, farewell. The best of all is, God is with us. Quiet for a while, and then the reports are he revived again, and he said, The best of all, God is with us. What a statement. What a great truth. We think, of course, at this time of year of the birth of God the Son, when he took a human nature and human body. And one of the titles that he was given, prophesied by Isaiah, of course, hundreds of years before, was Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. And that's the whole meaning of God the Son coming into the world. That God the Son took a human body and he dwells with us. Emmanuel, you see that babe in the manger that the shepherds ran to see, the child the wise men worshipped, he's none other than God. And he's God with us. God shall be with you. Now, how often do people say that? How often have I said it? The Lord be with you. And I have to examine my own heart. Was it an empty cliche? Is it said because we know that's what we're supposed to say? The Lord bless you, the Lord be with you. But how often do you or I really stop and think, what do we mean? What are we really saying? The Lord shall be with you. What is the meaning of these terms? Well, God shall be with you. In verse 21, I have no doubt whatsoever that Jacob was talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God shall be with you, specifically God the Son, our Savior. We'll prove that this morning, I believe. God shall be with you. Let me take that word, God. God shall be with you. And I noticed reading this chapter that there are three significant titles of who God is. And God has revealed himself by his titles and names. That's how we know him. We see his power in creation. But when we come to Scripture, he reveals himself by the various titles and names that he gives of himself. Of course, he reveals himself in God the Son, taking the human nature of Bethlehem. But there are three important titles. Let's look at them. The first one, verse 16. Verse 16. The angel which redeemed me, bless the lads. The angel which redeemed me. You see, that angel is God. You say, but hold on a minute. Sure, I thought angels were created beings. That's right. You're right. There is a created order of beings called angels. God created them. But the word angel simply means messenger. Messenger. And we know from passages such as Malachi, where it's prophesied that the messenger of the covenant shall come. And when it says in verse 16, the angel, this is indeed the Lord himself. Let me prove it to you. Go back to chapter 31 of Genesis. Chapter 31. And here Jacob is talking about how the Lord had appeared to him years before when he was at Bethel, and how the Lord appeared to him at Luz, and he didn't know it was the Lord. He said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. And he's talking about that time. And in chapter 31, verse 11, look at it. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. Verse 13, I am the God of Bethel. The angel is the God of Bethel. The word simply means messenger, messenger. I'll just highlight these to you. The first time you read of the angel, not an angel, the angel of the Lord, it's over in chapter 16 where Hagar is away in the wilderness on her own, and she's all alone. And the angel of the Lord came and spoke to her, gave her promises. And then Hagar, over in chapter 16, she said in verse 13, and she called the name of Jehovah that spake with her. The angel of the Lord is Jehovah. The angel of the Lord is Jehovah, and none other than God the Son. Because you never read in Scripture of God the Father or God the Holy Spirit taking bodily form. There are times in the Old Testament when God the Son appeared to man, revealed himself to men and women, and spoke with them and blessed them, and he appeared in human form. Oh, there are so many illustrations that we could give in the Old Testament to say, but how could the Lord Jesus Christ, as we know our Savior, how could he do that when he wasn't born until Bethlehem? Because, of course, our Savior said to the Jews in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, the babe in the manger, is none other but the eternal God. The eternal God. But the idea of the angel is he's the messenger of the Godhead. This is God coming, God the Son coming to speak. God the Son coming to speak. There's a lovely one in Genesis 22. Do you remember Abraham? Jacob's granddad. He went up the mount with Isaac. He's about to kill Isaac. And the angel of the Lord said, stop. Look in the thicket. And of course, there was the lamb for the offering God provided. The angel of the Lord spoke to him. Ah, but it goes on to say, the angel of the Lord spake, and I'm reading now from Genesis 22, verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham the second time and said, by myself I have sworn, saith Jehovah. I'm saying, there's no doubt about it. Exodus 3, Moses, the angel of the Lord appeared to him out of the bush, we're told in Deuteronomy. But we're also told Jehovah spoke to him. This angel of the Lord is not a created being. He appeared to Gideon. He appeared to the parents of Samson. There are other cases, we'll just leave it there. But I'm saying there's absolutely no doubt about it. When you read in Genesis 48, as Jacob is talking to Joseph and his grandchildren, Ephraim and Manasseh, when he says, the angel which redeemed me, he means God. Specifically, he means God the Son. But back in Genesis 48, verse 16, notice what he says about the angel. The angel which redeemed me. Ah, isn't that a lovely term? This is the first time this term occurs in the Old Testament. Redeemed. Redeemed. We, of course, in the New Testament know that we speak of the messenger, angel. Angel, messenger is just the same term. The messenger of the Godhead, none other than God the Son. Thank God he came into this world and revealed himself to us when he permanently took a human form and a human body. And he came to go to Calvary to redeem us. And there in that verse 16,
you have a foreshadowing of the cross and the sufferings of our great Saviour, God, man, who shed his precious blood in order to redeem us. By the way, the term redeemer, sometimes we forget this. The Hebrew term can actually be translated avenger of blood. It's a kinsman redeemer. The idea is of to buy someone back who's in slavery, to buy back their property, to avenge them, to protect them, to watch over them. And Jacob says to his sons, the angel, he was present with me. But look now at verse 3 of the chapter 48, the second name. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty. Isn't that a lovely term? El Shaddai. Some hymns with that name in it. That's what it is. The God who is enough. That's what it means. The God who is always sufficient. And that verse to keep again appears to Abraham way back in an earlier chapter. God appeared to Abraham and told him not to worry. He said, I am God Almighty. There's no need for you to worry. Jacob's using this term. Do you know what's interesting? In chapter 28, after Jacob had deceived his brother, Isaac, his father, called him in. And he told Jacob, you'll have to flee from home. And Jacob's about to go out, not sure where he's going. He's told to go to Haran, but he had never been there before. There were relatives there. Hundreds of miles, all alone, knowing his brother wants to kill him. You know what Isaac prayed? Prayed with him before he went. Isaac prayed for his son Jacob. God Almighty, go with you. What's this talking about? The protection. Almighty means that he is all power, that nothing happens without his consent, that there's no force in this world, be it satanic or human, can thwart the will of our God. What we use the term omnipotent, omni, all, potent power. He is all powerful, all powerful. And so here in chapter 48 and verse 3, Jacob doesn't just say God. God. He says, God Almighty appeared to me. He appeared to me at last. He came. God Almighty. It's a lovely term. I don't have time to go through the references in the Old Testament, but it's a wonderful study to go through the places where the God Almighty is used. It really is tremendous. I love the one in Psalm 91, one of my favorite psalms. He that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When my wife and I were married, someone, dear friend, gave us the daily reading book of Spurgeon, morning and evening. And they wrote how that verse appears in the Arabic. He that dwells with God shall always be in touch with the almightiness of God. But still, I love the King James, under the shadow. The Almighty God, when you're a believer, and when Jacob could say to his sons, his son and grandson, you know, God Almighty has been a shadow over me, a protector, and the psalmist said that. Elizabeth Elliot, some of you have read her books. Her husband was one of the five missionaries killed in the 1950s among the Aka Indians, Jim Elliot. She wrote a book about the, well, she wrote a book about the events through Gates of Splendor, the martyrdom of those five missionaries. She also wrote a book particularly about her husband, Jim, died in, they were killed in 1956. But Jim, in 1949, when they were just beginning to go together, Jim Elliot wrote a very famous quote in his diary. It's become very famous. In fact, it just comes to my mind. I remember when we came back from overseas and I went to a barber, because there were no barbers where we lived in New Guinea. Man, you had to be good to your wife, because your wife would cut your hair, or somebody else. There were no such thing as barbers out in the mission field.
But I went to a barber's first time in years, and I looked over as the barber had the coat up. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. So I said to the barber, "Oh, where did you get the coat?" "Oh, I don't know." I said, "Did you not know the story behind that?" "No." I said, "That was a missionary who went out to Ecuador to contact an Indian tribe, and he was martyred. And how his wife and some of the others stayed in that tribe to reach those Indians and translated the scripture and preached the gospel. He'd never heard, he just heard the quote." Well, that's a quote of Jim Elliot. So it's used even in secular world. And she wrote a book about Jim. And in that book, and she said how even some Christians, when they heard, they were shocked about the death of the five missionaries. And they didn't recognize the truth of the second part of Jim's motto. He's no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. She wrote in that book, and do you know what she called the book? Some of you might have it. The Shadow of the Almighty. The story of her husband giving his life. She said in that book, oh yes, he was killed. But you know, he wasn't defeated. Because nothing can defeat us when you're in Christ. Because he gained the martyr's crown. Gained eternal life. The Shadow of the Almighty. Jacob saying to his sons, oh, you're under the shadow of the Almighty. Listen, is there anything more thrilling than to know every day as a Christian that you're under his protection? You're under his shadow. Listen, is there any burden that the Almighty God can't lift? Is there any problem that you'll face? And there will be times in life when you'll come to a problem and you'll have no answer. But listen, the Almighty God is able to deal with it. Better hurry up. By the way, the book of Job, I have to point this. The Old Testament, that is 48 times you'll read God Almighty. 31 of them are in the book of Job. Isn't that amazing? You say, why is that? Can you think of any character in the Bible with more problems than Job? 10 of his children killed in a stroke. The awful disease from head to toe. 31 times, Job, I'm God Almighty, I'm God Almighty. Third one, he's present. What we mean is he's the angel, he's present with you. He's Almighty, he's able to protect you. But there's another one in verse 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which, now note this, fed me. Now that is not a wrong translation, but yet we must point out that is the word translated shepherd. It's translated to feed, to keep, to companion, to friend, pastor, herdsman, shepherd. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. It's the same word. Of course, here it's a verb. It's the same word. Joseph is saying, boys, God shall be with you. The God who's not only the angel and the Almighty, the one who can come beside you as angel and be present and reveal himself to you. He is the shepherd who will watch over you. You know, it wasn't David the first one to say, the Lord's my shepherd. It was Jacob. And Jacob had been a shepherd. He knew the difficulty of keeping sheep. He knew what it was to stay out at night. He talked about the frost upon his head. For 20 years he looked after the flock of his father-in-law Laban. Joseph, when we first met him at age 17, what was he doing? Keeping the flock of sheep. They knew what shepherds did. And how this wonderful title would have really blessed them. That God, who's going to be with us, is our shepherd. Is our shepherd. And Jacob here is acknowledging, he's giving a testimony. He's saying, Joseph, grandsons, God, he appeared to me, the angel. And he was present with me. And you know, not only did he appear to me, but you know, he protected me because he's the Almighty God. And he's the shepherd. He provided everything I needed. He fed me spiritually. Look at the end of the text here in verse 21. The text, God shall be with you. With you. I can just leave you a few thoughts on that in the time we have.
That's what caught my attention with you. You know what you'll find in Jacob's experience? God came to Jacob and said, Jacob, I am with you. Another occasion, Jacob, I will be with you. Then Jacob said, God was with me. And then he says in our text, God shall be with you. Isn't that a lovely sequence? I am, I will be, he was, he will be. Wonderful, wonderful sequence. Where's the first one? Back to Genesis 28 and 15. You know, when Jacob saw the ladder, this is his salvation, the day he was saved. He put his head in that pillow. He's shrouded in darkness. He's surrounded by desert. He's sentenced to death. And that's what each one of us are spiritually. We're in the dark. We're under the sentence of death because of our sin. But God showed him in the night a ladder that reaches from wee sinful man all the way to the holy God in heaven. And that ladder, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jacob believed. God spoke to him. Jacob was saved that night. And the Lord appeared to him. And you know what God said? Jacob, I am with you. Now, Jacob had godly parents. He had heard about Jehovah, but he didn't know Jehovah. Because when he woke up, he said, surely God is in this place, and I didn't know it. He hadn't known God. And he changed the name of the place from Luz, separation. He was separated from God. Oh, he knew about God, but he didn't know him. But now he called it Bethel. This is the house of God, the gate of heaven. That's the day he was. Have you been saved? When you come to know Christ as your Savior, you know what the Lord says to you? I am with you. I am with you. Now, as Creator, the Lord is everywhere. He's omnipresent. But of course, when the Bible speaks about being with people, what this means is he's with his saved people to bless them, to protect them, to undertake for them. And now Jacob, oh, he knew all about Jehovah. And God, of course, watched him as he sees everyone in this universe. But now he said, Jacob, you're mine. I am with you. Redemptive sense. Just turn quickly to chapter 31 a moment and show you something here about another time it is used. Chapter 31, verse 3, he's getting ready to go back to Canaan. Now, in front of him is Esau. Oh, Esau's going to meet me with his 400 men. How am I going to do it? And then, what does he think about Laban's going to come after him? But in verse 3 of chapter 31, the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers. Ah, oh, but if I do that, Laban will chase me. How can I face Esau again? I will be with thee. That's the answer. I will be with thee. Don't fear the future. Don't fear the future. And when you're a believer, you can face the future from the protection of the Almighty. See, the angel is with you. I am with you. The Almighty, he will be with you. And Jacob set out to go back to Canaan, trusting in the promise that God, the Almighty God, had said, I will be with you. I'll just mention that the clock's going here, but in chapter 35, verse 3, chapter 35, verse 3, you can read it there. Jacob goes back to Bethel. He was backslidden, and he's going back to Bethel with his family. And he tells his family, let us arise and go to Bethel. And he's rededicating himself to the Lord. And he says, God was with me. God was with me. Chapter 35, verse 3. He's giving testimony to his whole family, and he's saying, listen, God was with me. I wasn't faithful. I didn't live as I ought to live. There's things I've done that I'm ashamed of, but you know, God has been with me. Is that not the emphasis on the shepherd? Even when we went astray as lost sheep and strayed away, the Lord was with us. I am with you as the angel. I will be with you as the Almighty. He was with me as my shepherd. And so we're back to chapter 48 where we started.
And it's wonderful in verse 15, the God that shepherded me all my life long, chapter 48, shepherded me all the life long. Isn't it wonderful to have the presence of the Lord with you? Are you conscious every day? I was reading this week, earlier this week, a pastor in America was reminiscing over his experiences. He wrote this and he said he remembered once in a church where one day he was visiting in two very different homes. He went to a home where there was a lady quite well to do. She had everything a person in the world you think would want, although she hadn't been too well. And when he went there from beginning to end, she complained, she moaned, she was angry, she was upset. And reading his own words, he's an American, cantankerous, ornery, nothing suited. It was a cold winter day when he visited, and he said, when I came out of the house, it was cold, oh so cold. Then I went to a two-room shack in a different part of the city. Minnie was sitting on a chair that had rollers on it so that with her one good foot, she could push herself around the room. Minnie was blind, been crippled with arthritis for years. And as I sat there, she began to talk about the goodness of the Lord and how sweet the Savior is. And the woman was so little. And before I left, she says, preacher, you have to pray and thank God for all of His wonderful blessings to us. He said, I prayed, and as I left that house, it was warm. Oh, so warm. That's the lady that knew the shepherd. She knew the greatest blessing of all, that God was with her. God was with her. What's it got to do with us today? What does it mean? How do we apply it today to us? Well, some may, like Jacob, be ending time on this earth. Wonder about children and grandchildren. What's going to happen to them? See, Jacob's dying at this scene. But Jacob is able to say by faith, God shall be with you. Oh, keep praying for children and grandchildren, that God would be with them. God would be with them. Young person, starting out in life, young Christian, maybe you say, well, how can I ever live the way a godly father or mother or some relative, how can I ever live for God the way they lived? Ah, well, you see, Abraham died, but there was an Isaac. Isaac died, there was a Jacob. Jacob died, there was a Joseph. When Joseph dies, there's going to be an Ephraim and Manasseh. Thank God, God is faithful in every generation. And the same God who was with Jacob is going to be with the children. That's the great thing. He's going to be with the children. God is with us, even in evangelism. You remember what the Savior said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you always. Now, in the LTBS magazine, I trust you get a copy. I think it might be enough for each family. I have an article in that, and I was given the subject to write about Christ's authority to do with the hope of evangelism. And in that article, I mentioned how practical that truth is, to know that Christ, when He arose, said, go ye into all the world. All power is given unto me. He's the Almighty. And the last paragraph or so of that article, I mentioned two famous Scottish missionaries, David Livingstone, John Patton, both from Scotland. Both had wives called Mary. Both of them buried their own wife out in the mission field. John Patton going to islands of cannibals, buried his own wife and son. Do you know both the texts, motto texts they both had? Lo, I am with you always. David Livingstone, of course, said this. He said, I would have went mad when he buried his wife, but for that word, I am with you, the presence of the Savior. On these words I staked everything, and they never failed. It is the word of a gentleman, the word of a gentleman. So there's the end of it. That was real in Livingstone's life. It was real in Patton's life. God said to Jacob one day, Jacob, I am with thee. When Jacob was facing problems that he couldn't sort out, God said, I will be with you. Then Jacob said to his sons, sons, I want to tell you in my life, God was with me. And he says to his children, God shall be with you. Is it just a phrase? Is it just a cliche? Do you want to know this morning as we make our way home that
that God is really with you? Well, of course, you need to come to Christ and know him as your Lord and Saviour. May God make us conscious of that as we seek to give out these calendars. God has promised to go with us when we seek to evangelize. May God be with us. Let's turn to him.